Uh-oh, I just set a bad example. I forgot to put the batteries in the... There we go. Now, I assume you want to hear me. That'll be a good thing. Welcome, welcome. You need to know there is an outline in the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along. As Dennis said in his introduction to the reading, we're going to talk about examples this morning. We all have them, and we're all supposed to be an example. So in your notes, I put by way of introduction a definition. And then also we find God and Jesus and Paul and Timothy and all of us were to be examples. And then as Dennis read to us in all of these areas, and to one another, to the believers, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, and give attention to reading, to exhortation and doctrine, and it has an influence on our salvation. So let's go through these notes and rather kind of briefly this morning, but by way of definition and example. Paul said, Timothy, you want to be one of these. So an example is primarily, I put in your notes, a thing shown, a specimen or a sample, or to show by example. You know, Paul said in Acts 20, verse 35, to the Ephesian elders, says, I've shown you all things. So Paul said, you see what I've done? I've shown you all things. How that so laboring, you ought to support the weak. So he's saying to these elders, you see what I did? You ought. So there's a responsibility on both of us. The one that sets themselves up as an example, and then we are to follow that. Follow it. God is an example. It's interesting. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be imitators of God. Wow, there's a challenge. Be imitators of God. He gives the illustration. And walk in love. There's something about the love of God that we should imitate, because that's the charge, that's the challenge. Jesus, obviously, we recognize that as an example. Peter said, for even hereunto were you called. Alright, so here's the obligation now. You took on the responsibility as a Christian. Alright, that's your calling. He says, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow in his steps. Have to walk like Jesus. Follow his steps. Do what he did. In Philippians 2, verse 5. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So now I need to think like he did. Walk like he did and think like he did. And of course his attitude was, I came to do thy will, O God. In the Garden of Gethsemane, in his prayer, not my will, yours be done. Oh, I have to have the mind of Christ. Yeah. And walk the way he did. Examples. He's the perfect pattern. I need to copy that. Example. He's to be imitated. He's the blueprint for Christianity, for the way that we should walk. He's given us the assembly instructions. And if I want the desired results, I'm going to have to do it the way he outlined, the way that he said. And then obviously we become examples. Paul told in our text, told Timothy, Timothy, you be an example to the believers. Wow. What if everyone followed my example in attendance? What if everyone followed my example in Bible study? Or in prayer? If you followed my example, would you be a person of prayer? What if you followed my example in service? or in stewardship. If everyone followed my example, what would we look like? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, be followers of me. But then he added, as I also follow Christ. So yes, follow me. But don't follow me when I'm a bad example. And I guess there can be bad examples. You see what they're doing over there? Don't do that. We want to copy that which is good. Copy that which is right. And so Paul said, yes, follow me. But do it when I'm following Christ, when I follow that illustration and that example. Follow me when I look like that. Yeah. Wow. So now Paul said, Timothy, here's the charge, or here's the challenge. I want you to be an example in these areas. Number one, in word. In word. So I put in your notes the language, two ways. One is the language that we use, and also the manner in which we use it. Jesus said in Matthew 12:36, I say to you, all right, listen up, he says, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Oh, my speech. Will be called into account for the way that I talk. Paul said in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth. But that, then he gives the opposite. Oh, I'm pretty good with no corrupt speech. But then he says, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Yes. So when I speak, I want to encourage. Build up, as Dennis said in his introduction to the letter. Yeah. That it may minister grace to the hearers, Paul said. So I want to edify and be gracious in my speech. In verse 31, the same chapter, Ephesians chapter 4, he said, words of bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. There's a challenge. You see, our speech or our vocabulary is an identifying mark of Christianity. People will know us by our speech. Remember when Jesus was about to be crucified and Peter's over in the enemy camp? And the people there in the courtyard, they look at Peter and say, weren't you with the Christ? Not me, no. Oh, yes, you were. And then your speech betrays you. And so because they said that, then he began to curse. Your speech betrays you. We want to speak in such a way that we are identified with Christ. And then a second way of Timothy being a preacher, he's told later in the second letter, preach the word, Timothy. Preach the word. So now I want you to be an example in speech, in the lessons you teach or preach. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, he says, be instant in season, out of season. I want you to reprove and rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So now, if I take this personally, Brian, be an example in your vocabulary and in your sermons. I want to be sure I preach the word. An obligation and a challenge. The second, Paul said, in conduct. So now there's a behavior, a manner of life, a way that we live. Be an example, and you have to be the right example. Now, Timothy was, and I guess I am too, to practice what I preach. The other expression of putting your note, walk the talk. That's right. Do what you say. The third example in conduct is, I'd rather see a sermon any day than hear one. Don't amen that. I want to see a sermon. I don't want to hear it. So in conduct. Wow. Paul told Timothy in the next letter, in 2 Timothy 3:10. But you fully, Paul said, you fully know my doctrine and manner of life and purpose and faith and long-suffering and charity and patience. Oh, yes. So follow me, Timothy, as I follow Christ. Conduct. Paul's in 1 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15. Just right after this, Paul said, these things I write unto you, Timothy. Now you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the church or the household of God. Oh, behavior? Yeah. I remember my parents always tell me if I go somewhere, the last word are behave yourself. I still hear it. From memory, but from Christine. Behave yourself. Okay, yeah. Watch what you say and what you do and where you go. Behave yourself. So Paul now includes and adds to it, all right, well now my speech and my conduct, well, that's plenty. Oh, but now I want you to be an example in love. And I put that's a great motivation for speaking and acting properly. I love. Of course, the greatest obligation we have is to love God, isn't it, first? Ruler came to Jesus and asked him, what's the best or the greatest commandment? What is the highest possibility in life? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and great commandment. Second, liken unto it, love your neighbors yourself. On these two hang the law and the prophets. Wow. So now, Brian, be an example. Your speech, your conduct, and in your love, the way you treat each other. You think about love, it's something that's demonstrated. You don't just give a shout out, I love you, and then not make it observable. If I love you, I'm going to show it. Yeah. Love. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, now there's, see, it's something I have to do. My love has to be observable. I need to keep the commandments. And all of us know what love looks like. We know it when we see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 gives you about 15 different descriptions or word definitions of love. What love looks like. And then Paul says, now Timothy, also not only these things, but now in spirit. That's the disposition in which we do things. It refers to our character. It's manifested. The spirit in which I love and talk and behave myself. The spirit. Yeah. In faith. He says, add that one. As reference to Timothy's faithfulness and trustworthiness as an example. Be an example in faith. In Titus, Paul wrote to Titus in the same, on the same vein, in Titus 2, verse 10, Titus, show all good fidelity. The way that you live, your conduct, adherence to the word of God. Be an example of that. Live what the word says. Follow the instructions of the Bible, the Word of God. In faith, in fidelity. Be faithful in teaching the Word of God. Be faithful in living it. Live an honest life. Have the Master's interest in mind. In faith. Yeah. In purity. Live a disciplined life. Yeah. Self-controlled and be well-behaved again. Yeah. Paul said, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and verse 2, he says, you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, the way that you live, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Oh, I need to live a life of purity. And Paul says, you know how to do that. Yeah. Okay. You know. And then the last one in verse 13, he says, in kind of an, oh, by the way, if this is not enough, I want you to give attendance or give attention to reading, Bible study. Give attention to exhortation. You know, edify, build each other up. You know, give a word of encouragement. You see someone that's fallen, lift them up. You see someone discouraged, give them encouragement. Yeah. Give attendance to that or attention to that and to doctrine. And then the very last, close in verse 16. So take heed, you know, he takes it personally now. So all of us have to take this personally. So take heed to yourself. Oh, like sit up and pay attention to what I just said. Timothy, I'm writing this to you. You have it in print. You don't have to just remember what I said. Go back and review it. Give or take heed to yourself. Sometimes you might look at this list and say, oh man, that person over there needs to hear that. Now I'm going to take heed to myself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in so doing, you shall save both yourself and them that hear you. So now there's a salvation message attached to my being an example. Take heed to me. You take heed to you. I need to take heed to me. Because salvation has an implication in it. I need to speak right and act right. For my own salvation, and now as an example for yours. He said. Now close with this poem, just a short one, four lines. I don't know the author. It says, you're writing a gospel, a chapter each day. So you're writing a gospel, I'm writing a gospel, a chapter each day. By the deeds that you do and the words that you say, men may read what you write, whether faithless or true. So say, what is the gospel according to you? By the things we say and the things we do. People may not listen to all the words I say. They will listen, but they're going to look. They're going to see. Did you walk the talk? Did you practice what you preached? And you're going to say, Brian, I'd rather see a sermon any day than hear one. So that's the lesson this morning. It's just take it to heart, as we say. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. It gives you time to reflect not only the message you heard today, but perhaps previous messages or some discussion that may have been held over the past week or months or even years. And you say, I need to make my life right with God. If you're not a Christian, there's a simple procedure. You've heard the word of God. You need to do that. Paul said in Romans 10, verse 14, how can you believe in someone you haven't heard? You have to hear the good news that God so loved the world. You have to hear the Bible message. How can you believe in someone you haven't heard about? So we preach. And so now you have to believe it. You know, Jesus himself said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. No. Jesus also said a third step is to turn our life around. In Luke chapter 13 and verses 3 and 5, Jesus said, except you repent, you'll perish. Well, I don't want to perish either. I don't want to die in my sins, and I don't want to perish. No. So then we want to make our confession of faith that we believe what we believe, the message we heard that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached to him a Jesus message in Acts chapter 8. He interrupts Philip's sermon and says, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. He said, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip commanded the chariot to stop or to stand still. They both go down into the water, and it says both Philip and the Ethiopian, and Philip baptizes him, and that's the fifth step. They both come up out of the water, and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. So there's a simple plan or procedure in how to become a Christian, in how to be born again biblically. You need to hear the good news, believe it, and have it turn your life around, confess your faith, and then be baptized. From that point on, new life begins in Christ Jesus. And now you grow in grace. You grow just as a baby would. You grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's the invitation we extend each time we meet. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song that Dennis has selected for us, a song of invitation, exhortation. And if that's your desire to be baptized for remission of sins or to ask Brent for strength or encouragement, we can accomplish that. Just simply let it be known at the close of the song.
Yes,